This word, weak, the word for weakness is asthenos, and it means the ah, or the a, means without, and the second part of that word means without strength. Okay, it means a lot of different things, but it means one that lacks, and here's a list of different things. One that lacks, for instance, a knowledge of God, okay, a knowledge of God's will. All right, so Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14 is a good verse. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern both good and evil. We need to be trained to discern both good and evil. And those that are weak are not trained in their senses with God's word to discern both good and evil. So some that are weak within the church body need to have a knowledge of God's word. And it's not just the pastor's part to teach the Scripture up here, but we're to speak Scripture to one another. We're to encourage one another with a knowledge, a practical knowledge of the truth of God's Word. And so as we're going along, we see someone that's discouraged or down and out, or someone that lacks in an area of knowledge of the Word of God and how that works in their particular situation. That's God's call for you to give counsel in ways that He has taught you how to exercise good and evil, the difference between good and evil from His Word, from God's will. So sometimes those that are weak lack the knowledge of God's will. Sometimes they lack the courage to trust God's Word. They're weak in faith. So you can be weak in knowledge of God's Word. You can be weak in faith. And so you're stumbling along and you're discouraged, as these believers were at Thessalonica. They were persecuted and under great hardship, and so they were having trouble trusting the Lord God. So we come along, we say, you know, come on, God is able. He will deliver you. He'll help you through this time. He's the one that has promised. The Lord Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I realize that I may be speaking to some broken hearts this morning. Some of you that are struggling with trusting God and relying upon Him, looking out upon the future and just thinking things will never change. It's always going to be the same. But we can hope in the Lord our God, for He is our Savior, He is our Deliverer, and we're to put faith in Jesus Christ. Because what you can't see through, He already has. What you do not have the strength to do, He has the power to do. He is able to deliver. He is able to deliver you. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And so sometimes we just need courage to trust by faith in the truths that we know from God's Word. And sometimes we're weak and lacking because we have not been exercised in faith. A third point is that liberty of conscience for certain activities, sometimes there's a lack of it. Some people, like, for instance, in Romans, there were those that could not eat of meat that had been sacrificed to idols that came out of the temple because of what it was, and their consciences were such that if they did that, they would be injured, or they would think, oh, this is a wrong thing to do. There were other believers that said, that's just meat. God created these animals, and I'm going to go buy this meat and eat it, and they had the freedom to do that. But they had weak brothers that had come out of pagan worship, and it was a violation of their conscience. They couldn't do it. And so the Apostle Paul said, be careful with those weaker brothers and sisters in Christ, because they lack liberty of conscience for certain activities in life. So be careful with them. Take care of them and understand that there's areas of weakness. There was a time in my life where I had to separate from certain things. The music that I'd come out of, the background, I had to distance myself from it because it had too many bad associations. And so while others could do certain things, at that point in time I couldn't. And there's times like that for believers, and we need to be considerate of such times of weakness. Courage to face persecution or perhaps criticism. Sometimes people introvert. They just pull away. They become so hurt or damaged on the inside that they can't take any more persecution or criticism. And so we're told to strengthen those, to hold them up or to support them is the idea here in this verse. Another idea of weakness or area in which one might be weak is the strength to endure persecution or criticism. Now, that's a little bit different from facing, but enduring means it's long lasting. And if you're waking up to another day and it's the same old stuff and I just can't take it anymore. And so the scripture says support them, help them out, understand that they're in the battle and that in the compassion of Christ, God's people come along beside and help out. Some people lack the ability to control fleshly appetites. There's also mental control of impulses that brothers and sisters sometimes have trouble with. There's internet pornography it's devastating today. I mean, we have to come along beside. And there have been times where it's been necessary, even in this church body, to come along beside and say, look, this stuff, and people have expressed need for help in this area. Because lack of control of their mental impulses and lack of control of their fleshly appetites. And we need to strengthen. And the way that you do that is through accountability and through holding one another accountable to walk into our walk before the Lord. It's okay to do that. It's important to do that. It is commanded by the Apostle Paul to meet such needs within the church body. Oftentimes there's one in the church body who lacks determination not to vacillate. They're fickle, people pleasers. And so, man, I can just remember through different times in life. Everybody has a tendency to want to be a people pleaser. You know, you want to please folks, but some people have a terrible tendency toward that. They're just, I can remember a friend that I had through school that he, whoever he was with, that's who he was. If he was with the church group, and he was good with the church group. If he was with the thieves, he stole. I mean, he did whatever he was with, did. And they're just folks like that are controlled by the people around them. And so in the church body, we need to have positive accountability and peer pressure. You know, this is right. Get in rank. Get in your ranks. Let's go before the Lord and walk with the Lord. And so we encourage one another. Now, the word of helping the weak means to support them or to be a support. It means that it gives a picture of someone's falling over. And a support is one that comes along to hold them up. I can remember a good illustration of this word, what it means to help, or you might want to write down support the weak. Because it's the idea of standing before someone and holding them up, actually holding them up. But I had this friend that was in Alaska, and he was on a glacier, an Alaskan glacier. There, they were hiking, doing some mountain climbing, and he fell. And when he fell, he had not wrapped his ice pick around his wrist. And so when he hit the ground, that thing popped out of his hand. And he hit the ground on his back, and he started down this glacier. And there was no hope for this guy. I mean, he was gone. Down below some several hundred feet, was a cliff that was multiple thousands of feet high. He was dead. I mean, this guy was gone. But one of his friends had the mental savvy to actually jump on him. He saw him. He saw what happened. He perceived it, and he jumped on him. He grabbed him, and he dug his ice picks in, and they stopped right before they went off that cliff. But that's an idea of support. There was, a time when action was required. It was called for to support one, to do what was necessary to stabilize. And so this brother's life was saved physically, but sometimes this happens in a spiritual sense, doesn't it? I mean, we really need to just grab someone and support them and help them through certain times. Fourthly, there is perseverance and patience. If we were to take and do the sermon type thing, there's the wayward, there's the worried, there's the weak, and there's the wearisome, those that we have to exercise patience toward. We are told to be patient with all, with everyone. So that includes not just believers, but unbelievers. We are to be people of patience. That's where our Lord Jesus was. And it's necessary for us to extend. Now, the word means, it's macro, and there's two words there, themia, and the word is long-tempered. Long-tempered. It's the opposite of being short-tempered, right? Long-tempered. It means that we have, in this particular word, there's two words that are used in the Greek language. One has to do with patience with circumstance, hupomone, but macrothemia is patience with people. Okay, it's exercising patience toward people, toward one another. So one thing that we can say in point one in ministering to the needy is Paul is addressing relationships here, isn't he? He's very concerned in the actual working out of Scripture, the actual working out of Christianity has to be in the context of relationship. You ever thought about that? The Scripture tells us that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind, and our neighbor as ourself. Jesus Christ, His new commandment was to love your brother as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. There's a connection there. With the exercise of the truths and the principles from God's Word in relationship. And that means that we have to take this very seriously. We live in a culture that it's so easy to go down the street to the next church. Every time you get offended, or every time something doesn't go right, or ranks start breaking up, or whatever happens. But we're called in Christ to fervently love one another and to work through those things that make for relationship. But not just a relationship, a temporary relationship, but an everlasting, eternal relationship. Because that's what we have in Christ, isn't it? So God's Word gives principles so that the body of Jesus Christ can live in this type of relationship. Now I want to go to verse 15 and deal with it just a little bit here. But under 14, you had 4 points. You're to be bold in truth. You're to be courageous in hope. You're to be strong in faith. That means that the strong uphold those that are without strength and faith. You're to persevere in patience. Patience is patient to endure the short-sightedness and of others, and all of these are pretty much fruit of the Spirit. It's the work of Christ within us, right? So look at verse 15. It says, "See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people." So we're to pursue good when wronged. This is an important point in Scripture, and if we were to go to Romans chapter 12, we would see more involved sense this teaching. It says, "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right." This is Romans 12, verses 17 through 21, if you want to mark it down in your notes. I'll read it. You can follow along if you want to turn over there. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not, in this verse 21 is the one you want to focus on in relationship to our passage. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is a Christian biblical principle that you don't find other places. But it's life-changing, it's transforming, and necessary for all people of faith to embrace the truth and the reality of this, that we're to pursue good for others. Always to pursue. I like that word. It says in NAS, it says, but always seek after. But it's the word that's used for pursuit, to pursue, seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. It's a universal principle in Christianity. And I want to say this, because a lot of injustice happens in our world, and it's going to happen in this church body. There are going to be times when other believers offend you. There are going to be times when other believers actually do things that are evil or things that are wrong to you. But the scriptural principle here is that we're to give that back to the Lord. Now, if you look carefully at what it says in Romans and what it's saying here, it's not saying to ignore justice. It's saying to give justice to God. So the point that I want to make under verse 2, or under number 2 in verse 15 there, is that we're to give justice to God. That's the first big point. If you look at 1 Peter 2:23, it speaks about our Lord Jesus Christ, and it says that when he was wronged, that he kept entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Write the verse down. It's a good verse. 1 Peter 2:23. Okay, Jesus, what he did is he didn't ignore justice. He didn't pretend like it was not wrong. But what the scripture says that he did do was he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Now, I want to ask you a very serious question here this morning. Are you able to do that? Okay, you take the wrong that has been done to you, and perhaps it's something that's very fresh or very present. Maybe it's something that's gone on for a number of years. Maybe you're an individual or a person that struggled with bitterness for many, many years. Okay, I want to ask you one question personally this morning. Are you able in Jesus Christ, by the power of Christ and by the power of God's work within you, to say, God, I want to recognize that you are God this morning, that you and you alone are able to mete out properly justice and righteousness. I'm not able to do that. So I'm willing to entrust the evil that has been done to me back to you and be free of this bitterness, of this anger, of this harbored hatred towards someone, and relinquish this to you as a just God to take care of. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be free. Maybe free for the first time in a long time. But this is the principle in God's Word. It's what's necessary. And what you have to do is make a decision this morning. Make a decision that God is just and God is the only one that's capable of answering this wrong that has been done to me. When we're able to do that, then we can overcome evil with good. We can pursue that which is good for one another and for all people. Isn't that great? Jesus Christ will set you free. He'll make you free, and you don't have to leave this place this morning without freedom if you're just willing to entrust yourself to God and say, I believe, Lord, that you are sovereign, that you are in control, and that you are just. And I'm ready to be free from any bitterness or anger that is harbored in my life and that would control me for another moment. And that's a wonderful thing. We can walk out this morning. So there's a couple of applications here for you this morning. One, I want to encourage you, anyone that has an area of bitterness or anger toward any person, if you can just look at the Lord God and say, God, I entrust it to you. I'm going to leave it here behind forever for you to deal with in your time frame according to your measure of justice and judgment, and I'm free from taking the place of trying to be God and trying to mete out justice or trying to mete out what I deem to be right or wrong for this person or that person. It makes you free. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is to give to your brothers and sisters permission to admonish you. We see here, admonish one another, encourage one another. Let's exercise those things in the church body. And in order to do that, there's some humility that takes place. And that word for submission, humility, is tasso, and it's the same word for autoktus. They're out of rank. They're unruly. They're out of from under the subordination. And so in order to do that, it requires humility and saying before God, okay, God, I'm going to give people permission to confront me when there's an area of sin, an area of need in my life, and ask and pray that we might be such people of humility that we can confront one another and make sure that we're in rank here as we walk before the Lord. He is our Lord. He is the one who needs to direct this church. And through the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling each one of us as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we work together for the will of God and for His greater purposes, and as we pray and seek Him, these things will become lively. And there will be beautiful church growth, spiritual growth in the body of Jesus Christ here at Grace Bible Church. And this is the thing. This is the key. This is what we need more than anything else. There's not Willow Creek great principles for church growth that outdo this stuff right here. If we exercise these things, we will see Christ abounding within the body of Christ. And we will see His glory displayed in a local church body. And that's what we want most of all. Excel more in Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your great mercies and for the truths of Your Word. May we lay hold of them, Lord, and embrace that which is necessary and needful for us as Your people. God, give us fervor toward You and toward the things that we need in order to walk upright in an upright way, that we might walk worthy of You, Lord, and be fruitful unto every good work. Please help us, strengthen us where we're weak, enable us to encourage one another and help one another along, that Christ might be glorified, exalted, and lifted up. And we just give ourselves back to You. We acknowledge that You are our Lord, that You are God, and that You are alone have the right and purpose of directing us, and we submit ourselves to You and to one another. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.